This is our second video sermon on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's entitled, The Clock is Ticking. Thank you for listening to these messages. Thank you for those of you who are translating them in other countries for your work as well. Let's recap what we looked at last time. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says that everything is meaningless. But as we saw, what he means is that life without God is meaningless. After all, everything comes to an end. Generations come and generations go. And ultimately, the world is nothing. Nothing lasts if the world is all there is. Nothing endures for eternity. But if there's a God, and with God, and living for God, everything becomes meaningful. Of course, a great question is, how meaningful is my life? Am I investing myself in something that really counts for eternity? The world rushes carelessly ahead towards oblivion in the pursuit of pleasure. But if we will stay close to Christ, we will not be empty because he saved us from the empty way of life handed down to us. The message was simply called, Everything is Meaningless. So today's The Clock is Ticking, we're going to go towards the end of the book, where the assembly leader tells his hearers to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. And if it's too late, if you're just starting to know God and you're not so young, then we could put this a different way. Remember the Creator as early as possible. Don't wait. Let's read. I'll be reading 11:8 to 12:1. However many years one lives, one should rejoice in them all. But remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O youth, while you are young. Let your heart be merry in the days of your youth. Walk where your heart leads you, where your eyes look. But know that on all these counts, God will bring you to judgment. Banish trouble from your heart and remove suffering from your body. For youthfulness and black hair are fleeting. Remember your Creator and the days of your youth before the days of misfortune come and the years arrive of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. We're urged to remember God while we still have the strength to do that. And that's so important. You know, with age, it becomes more and more difficult. I'm not as flexible as I was at age 18 when I was baptized. With age, things become challenging. There are health challenges. Stubborn patterns in our lives run deeper and deeper. They tend to be harder to change. They get more and more entrenched in our lives. People we know are dying. And more, the older we are, and the temptation is to become sentimental, to become soft, to go easy on them and go easy on ourselves, and even think that even without biblical faith, maybe they'll be okay. Maybe I don't need to share my faith with them. There's a loss of strength, physical, emotional, and even mental strength that comes with age. And we tend to live more and more indoors or in the past instead of living in the present and looking ahead to the future. And I think this describes aging worldwide. Now, thankfully, there are exceptions. People do become Christians in their old age. In our congregation here in Atlanta, one of the brothers baptized his father at age 94. When we were leading a church in Washington, we had a sister in our ministry who was 102 years old. Many people turn to God as the end draws near, but not most. Most older people will not do that. Death draws near, but they're not drawing near to God. And that's why it's always dangerous to wait. I'm challenged by this, though I consider myself someone very motivated who wants to make the most of his life. But I can see in my own self a pattern of slowing down, even of sometimes wanting to make excuses for why I'm not doing some things that I used to do all the time, even without a reminder. I came from a very good meeting today. One thing that was very refreshing, and the meeting was from people mostly in their 20s up to early 60s, but part of it was accountability, sharing goals, things that we're working on, things we think God wants us to do. How are we doing with those? And what goals will we set for next week? And I said, you know, it's just human nature. If there's not a goal, if something specific isn't articulated or written down, we tend not to do it. And especially for you who are older, like me, I'm talking now to my peers. Many of them are in their 60s. There are exceptions, but don't wait. In fact, with any decision, don't procrastinate. Solomon, or the writer of Ecclesiastes, is not an atheist. He's not an agnostic. He's not a cynic. But as we saw last time, his faith has been colored, or shall we say discolored, by worldly humanistic thinking. And if you haven't done it, I encourage you, read the entire book of Ecclesiastes. It won't take long. You can probably read it in one sitting. That is, sit down with the book and start, and don't stop reading till you finish it. It's not long. But you'll sense the feeling of frustration, the feeling of loneliness, or maybe even tedium. It's like boredom, but tedium is when things just aren't fresh. It's slow, it's hard, it's not rewarding. Well, despite Solomon's wrong perspective, his basic message was still correct. And as we'll see, he ends up on the right track, at least by the end of the book. Well, in between, we won't read this entire poem. You know, much of Ecclesiastes is poetry, a huge part of it. But it's a poem about old age. And we read the beginning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of misfortune come, and the years arrive of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the darkening of sun and light and moon and stars and the return of clouds after the grain, and so forth. And all commentators are agreed that what follows is a description of old age, highly poetical. Don't have time to explain it all here. But just that beginning part, he talks about the darkening of sun and light, moon and stars. So things become darker, more sad, more dismal. The return of clouds after the rain. So there's been one storm, and you're just recovering from one storm, and now comes another storm. You know, your friend across the street dies, and you go to his funeral, and then the next week you hear someone else dies, and you've got another funeral. Or you go to the doctor, and there's a problem, and then there's another problem. And things tend to build up like that with age. And people, they simply run out of energy, and they're distracted and don't think about God. Please don't delay that decision to live for God, to make Jesus Lord, if you're not a Christian, and to do it as soon as possible. Now, at the very end, we'll read the final two verses of Ecclesiastes. Here's how they go. The end of the matter, when all is heard, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of everyone. For God will bring every deed to judgment over all that is hidden, whether good or evil. So there's not a denial of God. He's not saying that everything is meaningless. Simply under the sun, it's meaningless. But with God, everything's meaningful because we're approaching a time when there is a settling of accounts, a judgment day. So this is so different to what many religions teach. The Bible says we have one chance. In Eastern religions, and major religions like Hinduism and Buddhism, which together are probably 30% of the world, but there are other religions too, they view time as going in cycles. They're circles. And there may be reincarnation. There are different lifetimes, different opportunities. Then things repeat. So it's not as motivating. You know, if you think this life is my only chance, like the Bible teaches, Hebrews 9:27, then you take it more seriously. But when, well, the earth's been here forever and the world will be here forever and the cycle will keep repeating, which is not actually correct even scientifically. The world's not been here forever. That's Eastern religion. Now, Western religions, Judaism and Christianity and Islam, which borrows from those religions. In Western religion, time is linear. It has a beginning and it goes in one direction. It doesn't repeat. There's one opportunity and we need to take that seriously. By the way, that's one reason I believe in the Bible, because what God revealed in Judaism and in Christianity in the Old and New Testaments matches up with, I think, the best of philosophy and science, and it just makes sense to me. Well, it's time to conclude. What are we to take from this message? The clock is ticking. Well, first, seek God as soon as possible, preferably while we are still young. He says that we need to fear God. Fear God. Respect. Reverence. Not joking and being silly, being flippant about God. Being respectful. Respectful in prayer. Respectful in worship. Respectful in our lives. Fearing God means obeying God. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's an important principle we see repeated many times in Proverbs and Job. Oh, and here in Ecclesiastes, even in Psalms. We need to obey him. Is there maybe one command that comes to mind that right now you know you're not obeying? That you'd say, yes, I wouldn't want judgment to be tomorrow because I'm not really taking this seriously. Obedience is part of the Christian life. We need to prepare for judgment. We need to prepare for death. Even though we may not know, no, we will not know the meaning of everything. Life can still be meaningful. Even though we don't know the future or what good things may come or bad things, we may not know the future, but we know the one who holds the future in his hands and we trust him. Often when I go to pray, I walk in a graveyard. I walk in a cemetery. I find it sobering. And Often I notice what is on the tombstone, how long the person lived. Did he die as an infant? Did she outlive her husband? Is the spouse still alive? Are these all the children? What's happened? Because cemeteries tell stories. Well, sometimes I see poetry on tombstones, and maybe you've seen this one. It goes like this, and I think it would be appropriate if it were an appendix to Ecclesiastes. I'll read this. Remember me as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare for death and follow me. We need those reminders. Now again, in Ecclesiastes, fear God, keep his commandments. God will bring every deed to judgment, whether all that is hidden, and whether good or evil. The clock is ticking. Let's take that lesson seriously. And our next message, and it'll be our final message in this unit on the wisdom literature, we'll have a talk from the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. Thank you for listening.